Hello, gorgeous people, and welcome back to Small Talk, What's It, the podcast with your host, Cindy Matone. And guys, guess what? This is the last episode of 2022. Can you believe it? What a year it's been. We've had so many amazing guests. We talked about health and wellness and finance and fashion and even TikTok. So many amazing people came on and shared their stories. And it's such a pleasure to interview these people. And I'm so honored that you guys keep listening and tuning in. It really does mean the world, as I always say. And with that said, lots going on right now, guys. So first of all, I've been a little bit MIA the last few weeks because I've been in MIA. I've been down in Miami and I did find an apartment with my best friend that we loved, and we filled out an application and I found out a week ago that it did in fact get approved. So I am officially moving to Miami in January. Crazy. And I'm also selling my childhood home. My family made the decision to do that. So a lot of different chapters in my life are closing. It's really weird. New ones are opening. So the last few weeks, I just was kind of like getting my ducks in a row, also emotionally processing everything. It's been like some heavy stuff over here, but also really, really exciting. And I don't know if anybody is in the same boat as me, but I think the best piece of advice is, in order for you to get to that next chapter in life, you have to close the old one. And that's what I keep telling myself. So a lot of really exciting stuff to look forward to. Also, I'm going to take you guys with me to Miami. We're going to have a lot of fun in 2023. We're going to introduce you guys to some really cool guests, and I'm really pumped for that. But with that, let's wrap up 2022. So today's guest is somebody that I've known since 2020. She's an amazing young woman. She is like the coolest person ever. And we talk in this episode, guys. It is one of my longest episodes I've ever done, but we go into so many different topics. So I hope you guys can just tune in, almost feel like you're just like listening to two really good friends chat about all different sorts of topics, and hopefully you guys can feel like you're a part of that conversation. But I love you guys so much, and I hope you enjoy the holidays with your friends and your family. You stay safe, and let me introduce you to today's guest. Okay, guys, so for my last episode of 2022, I'm chatting with my good friend Alexa Ray Ibarra, who is a yoga instructor and podcast host of The Vibe. One thing I love about Alexa is that she's unapologetic about who she is, and she's not afraid to take the road less traveled. Before discovering her love of yoga, Alexa took on multiple jobs in LA, like assisting Madison Beer in the early days of her career, working as Tori Spelling's stylist, and much more. However, at 23, she knew that something wasn't right, so she trusted her gut and started a new chapter. Later on, she went to become one of the faces of yoga for Adidas, where she was featured in campaigns all over the world. Such a cool story. You're going to have to tune in to find that one out. But with that said, this episode is really just two friends catching up as we go into so many different topics, including relationships, social media, mental health, and much, much more. So I hope you enjoy this episode and all the things that are talked about. And let's get into it. Hey, guys, I'm with Lex now. And first of all, how did we meet exactly? I feel like we just like followed each other just from being both in the podcast world, but I don't know if there was like a connection that we had. It started from a DM. I remember. I think you DM'd me or I DM'd.
I did DM you.
You DM'd me, right? And I think it was just, we were like stalking each other for a minute. Like we knew we were both cool girls in the same space and like had rituals, but like, I fully
know how and why. And I believe that everybody comes into your life for some reason. So you did a podcast with Tina Marie Clark.
Yes.
I did a podcast with her and I like became like, she's amazing. She's a wonderful, anyone who doesn't know her, Tina Marie Clark, you've got to see her. She's lovely.
Very
down to earth. But I interviewed her during COVID. So I never got to like actually know her, but I saw that you really did. You like spent time in her house and like did yoga and like got to know her. And I was just like, wow, I want to get to know her. And then I saw you and I saw that we DM'd before, but I reached out again, just being like, hey, like, what are you doing during COVID? Like, it was kind of like one of those things is like, do we make a chat? Do we talk? Like, we're obviously not meeting up. No one's meeting up. But I remember reaching out to you when I first moved to New York and you were a baby. You're much younger than I am, which is adorable.
Oh my God.
I looked up to you majorly because you were such a New York girly.
Yeah.
But like, I think you were for coming from someone who wasn't, like, you were like a girl that like I definitely like in my sheet of girls I wanted to meet, like you were on there and you were like a youngin.
Oh my God. I was a youngin. And like, also like I 2020. So, I mean, I've been doing this podcasting thing since 2017. Like, so I was like, I must've been like 20 when I was starting.
Yeah.
But so funny. Cause like, I'm happy I started when I did, because I was putting myself out there. Like, I mean, to everybody and everything and whatever. And now I'm just like, I don't know if I have that energy anymore. So
I feel like now you're like totally comfy in the world. Like, I feel like people know, not people. I mean, I say this in the sweetest way possible, but people know who you are. Like, it's just like, you've made those connections. You're like,
right.
you made a little footprint in this like world that we live in. And like, I definitely remember, just for context, I am from Philadelphia. I lived in LA. I moved to New York. So I never like had those roots of New York that everyone else I feel like did, of just like even knowing each other or like anything like that. Like when I moved to New York, I really had to like suss people out for myself and like figure out who the people were that I like wanted to like be infiltrated with. Again, this is the time where New Yorkers were like cool and not conceited, and like people like did want to be friends and collaborate. Right. And I just remember you being one of those people. And I was just like, I did reach out to you and I was like, I wonder if she like is too young. Like, I was like,
you keep saying this.
I'm 31 and you're like 26.
Oh, stop
right?
it. I'm turning 26.
No, but at that age, it's true. So when you're 20 and I'm 26, it's really easy for anybody. Like, now you're in your mid 20s, I'm 30. Like, it's so, we are two
That's
different
fair.
People. But think about it. So in my world, I was like, oh, maybe I'm too old for her. And not that I'm too old for anybody, but like, maybe like I'm not the person she's trying to vibe with. And that's like, so something I get as like a 26 versus a 20.
You're crazy. First of all, you don't look your age, but also like, I feel like 30 year olds today don't look like 30 year olds in general. No, I think you're absolutely out of your loony. Cause like, you were so cool. And I feel like you're doing what like most 30 year olds are not doing. But no, I do remember is that we exchanged numbers like pretty much from the jump, as soon as we started DMing, let's take this
off,
go somewhere else. And so we had like a full call, I think, or like we were sending like voice memos to each other. And like, we like got into it like so fast. Like, we were like the super
crying,
like no superficial bullshit. I mean, it was like so real from the jump. And like, to me, like, that's when I know I find my people, because like the world, I mean, social media in general, like, is so superficial. So the fact that you get to like connect with people through that, like in a real raw way, I was like, oh my God, I love this girl. So
I could literally cry thinking about it, because I remember that time. I think I was talking to you about like my ex and like moving onward and like just things that like people don't talk about. Like, people never talk about those like nitty gritty, like shitty situations or anything. And like, you know, maybe one situation can be totally different than the other, but like, it's the way that two people can come together, whether they're strangers, whether they're friends, but having an open heart to anybody is something that I'm like a firm believer on, because you never know like how that conversation will continue to hold a year later. Do you know what I mean? Like, you 100%. Really don't. So for me, it's so important that anybody I do like have a connection with, like, it's a positive one, because like, life is too fucking short to like 100%. leave anyone with the feeling of anything but like, I hear you, I see you, I understand you. We're all going to get through this together. Mm-hmm.
And we're both such like open people. And like, I do have people that are open in my life, but like not at the level that like you're at, like immediately from the jump. And like, it's so cool, because like, all my friends say to me, like, pretty much my friendships, I'm kind of the one that's like the open book. And like, most of my friends takes a little bit more for them to like express themselves. So like, meeting someone that's like so similar to me was like very, very cool.
I love that. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
And we've been DMing since 2020. Like, it's already been what, 2 years?
It's about to be three.
That's crazy. Oh my God. Well, you were saying also before we started, we're talking about the fact that like, so you're in Philly right now for the holidays, you're in Miami basically full time.
I live in Miami. That's definitely where I would consider. I live in Miami now.
Yeah. So we're definitely going to connect down there when I'm there. Yeah. I'm so excited about that. But like, backtracking, another thing we have in common is that we're both Long Island girls as well.
I'm not a Long Island girl.
You're not?
No.
Why did I
grew up in Philadelphia.
Okay. But you were never once lived in Long Island.
Never.
Okay. So wait, what's the connection? I feel like, what's the connection then with Madison Beer, because she's from Long Island?
Oh, so I'll tell you about Madison Beer. So I went to college at totally very normal. Everyone, like, also, I feel like just living in New York, people just naturally assume like maybe you just grew up here.
But I thought you, yeah, that's what Beer, I thought. Okay.
Madison Beer. So I went to the University of Arizona and was always like, post high school, was always a West Coast girl. I grew up in Philadelphia, where I'm at right now.
Okay.
I went to school on the West Coast in Arizona. And right after college ended, I moved to LA and immediately worked in entertainment. And while I was working in entertainment, I met Madison and her mom. And at the time, her mom was like, I need somebody else. I need someone who's going to like help me make the, like her dad wasn't around. And she was like, I need someone who's going to help me make the decisions. Like I'm a single mom who like needs, like there's times I have to be with my son.
Were you doing
like
artist management?
A little bit of it, but more on like a personal side. Like, you know, she had a son also who was 10 years old. Madison was 13 at the time. And so there were times where we would go to like, for instance, a Disney cast. These are all scenarios.
Okay.
Disney casting. And if on the spot, they were like, you have to take this job now or not. And I would go through with the people, like either the director, like what it would really take, what it would mean. And her mom would like, let me help her make those decisions if she wanted. Okay. At the end of the day, a lot of decisions, Madison didn't want to do those certain things, which is up to each, you know, it also takes a lot for your, I think like a 13-year-old to trust a 21-year-old and what their like future endeavors are going to be. And also like, I totally trusted her so much. But anyway, Madison, I ended up working for them for like 3 years. And then I just like, you know, I think like anybody just was like, I want to try something new. And I just stayed, they were like family to me, like so, so close. But then I worked in TV for Corey Spelling. I was her stylist. And after that was when I was like, I need to leave LA. Like I've officially lived the LA life. Like I've met everyone. I have worked with every famous person. I felt like I didn't have a life. I feel like that's why I am nice in the way that I am, is because like no one there gives a shit.
No, they do not. No, they don't.
Especially in that world. Like I think it's shocking to my own self that I was ever in that world at one point, because I'm like, that's so not me. Like I'm way too sensitive of a soul to like, but it made me strong. But it also is like, I got to get out. But working for Madison and her family is like such a blessing. And I keep in touch with them. They're still such family. I mean, the first time she played at Surf Lodge was like such a big deal. Like, you know, I've been there for all the first. Now she's like a touring artist and it's like, I can't even keep up with her, but I was there for all of the first. And it's been nothing short of incredible to see like someone so young, like literally be the girl that like I was when I met her now. And it's just like so crazy to like see that. But yeah, that's how I think that's my deep New York connection that people like take with it. They like think I've known them since I was like younger, but I only met them when I like first started working in LA.
This is a good transition though, because I was going to ask you. So after college, that's what you wanted to be, was in the entertainment industry.
Yeah, I fully wanted to be in the entertainment. It's interesting because I studied psychology and family studies.
Where'd you go to school?
My family. University of Arizona.
Okay.
So I was always interested in my family. We have our own fucked up shit, and was always super interested. I really thought I really thought that like, I really thought that I was going to end up going to like school after this and really become like a psychiatrist or a therapist of some sort. And like, I kid you not, Sydney, I went abroad to Barcelona, and that year, right when I came back, I was like, there's just no way. There's just no way. I'm not going to school again. Like, I'm not doing this. I don't want to talk to anyone. And anyway, ended up like really, I've always like had like a knack for like, as you can see, I obviously love to talk. I've always had a knack for like humans and style and fashion and making things work together and collaborating and making people feel comfortable. So I was like, you know what? I always did want to go to LA, and I was like, I can make this happen. Like, I did really well in college. I've done well in everything that I've done this far, like, why, how's it not going to work? And I started working for a casting company first. And that was perfect because it was kind of how I met people and like kind of got my footing. I think any first job in LA isn't going to be your dream job unless you're really fucking lucky. Mm-hmm. But it like got my footing in.
Or
so that I went,
but
exactly. Or narcissism. It could be anything, which is something I totally faced a lot of. Like, I can't tell you how many places I went to that I was like, God, if I was someone else's like kid, I would totally be so lucky. And I think about that a lot in like life. And I'm like, thank God I'm not someone else's kid, because 100%. The hard work is like what makes it all worthy. But no, I went to school and then was in LA and then started working in entertainment. Never thought that was going to be for me. And then entertainment is what made me leave. Honestly, I was like, this is a toxic world. But it took me like any relationship or anything, it took me like 4 years to realize like, this is toxic. I'm sick. Like, I'm becoming as sick as these people. And like, it was honestly one of the toughest things to walk away from. It's like a 23-year-old, like leaving your best friends and everything and what you're used to. So tough, but best thing I ever did, ever.
So you did the casting job. You're the stylist for Tori Spelling. And then after that, you decided, I got to get out of here. Like, this is not for me. Okay. Yeah. So the mindset you were in, you're 23 years old. Like, where do you go from there? Like, when you're like, I want to leave.
I remember my lease was up and my roommate at the time, who I'm working with now, who's always been my best friend, she was moving in with her boyfriend. And I, it was an immediate, like, you're going to live alone. Like, this is the first time it was faced to me that, like, I'm done with roommate world. Which is a lot for someone to take when that's like not what you're expecting. And so when that happened and it was like, either take this one other job that's a style for 2 months or leave. And I was like, I'm leaving. I don't even want to do, like, I don't want to work 9 hours a day and get no weekends off for 3 months. Like, I just don't want to. And I just remember, like, it was like a 3-day, like, honestly, a 3-day thing. Like, it was like, I have to move now. Like, our lease ends in like a moment. Either I'm taking this job and staying and like getting a place. And like, I'm not doing that. So I ended up leaving like within 3 days. So I never got like the proper goodbye, but I feel like it was better to be pushed out than like elongate myself. And then I left. I came to Philly for like 2 months, and I've always loved yoga. I've always like loved movement, and just like, I never thought I would have the opportunity to ever like teach it or do more than like go to a class, to be completely honest. But I always loved it. And I was going through a really, really tough time with my mom, and I had saved all this money from just working and never going out or doing anything with it, that I was like, I'm going to go to yoga. I'm moving to Hawaii and I'm going to yoga teacher training school. And that's like what I'm doing. So I left, and I was in Hawaii for like 4 or 5 months. And it was a month and a half immersive, just yoga every day, all day for 12 hours, Sundays off. That was it. And I loved it. I lived like the most simple lifestyle. And then I stayed a little longer. And then my mom came to visit me, and she was like, what's next, Japan? And I was like, not against it. And she was like, no. Like, she was like, can you please, she had always wanted me to give New York a chance. And she was like, please give New York a chance, like give it a chance. And I was like, sure. And I happened to get like the first job that I like put myself out there for. And I was like, fine, I'll stay here. And it ended up being beautiful, but I definitely went through a big shift, and no one understood my shift, and no one understood. It was way before the time of everyone going on yoga retreats and like all of that stuff. Like, everyone was like, you're moving to Hawaii for 5 months. I was like, yeah. And they're like, you're fucking crazy. And I was like, yeah, I'm like really going through it. Like, maybe I am crazy right now.
Yeah. Was it a yoga job you got in New York or something else? Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't exist anymore, but it was like this place. It was a really cool thing. It was like a concierge yoga service that like just held big events. And I didn't even apply for it. They reached out to me. And I think that's what honestly sold me, was that I was like, oh, I think I kind of like that people recognize that I'm like kind of good at what I do. And I kind of don't even need to put, honestly, yoga was the first thing I felt like that I had nothing to prove to others. Like, it was like, I knew I was really good at it, and I knew that I could teach a great, like, I was so confident in that. And that was the first thing I've ever felt so confident in.
Wow. You said a few things in there. I think the fact that like at 23 years old, you recognize that like the entertainment industry wasn't for you. Like, I really commend you, because I think there's people that they know that in their heart, but like they just get sucked into that world, and like they don't have the courage to leave it because they can't imagine anything else besides what they're doing. So the fact that like you realize that early on, like imagine you were still in it doing now, like it would be very hard for you to leave now, because I'm sure you would have progressed on and on. So I commend you for that. And also, again, this is just, again, anyone in their 20s that's listening to this, like that's what your 20s are for. Like, take those chances. If something doesn't feel right, that means that there's something else out there for you. So I'm glad you're able to recognize that like pretty early on in your career. And then moving to Hawaii, I mean, also the fact that like you saved enough money to be able to do what you want to do. Like, again, you are like balls to the wall. Like, you really went for it. I mean, it's,
I appreciate it.
Yeah. It's crazy. And like, that's really nice to hear. A lot of the episodes I've done, something happens in like someone's career, like something just like clicks where they realize, oh, like this is it, like this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And
it was definitely a crazy thing when I was like, when I thought it would be really like everything has been kind of not tough, but like a challenge, like as most things should be. But I was like, kind of crazy, this is kind of falling into my lap. Like, maybe this is what it feels like when things are meant to be, you know? Like, that was my first like intro to like, oh, you're doing what you love, and like people are noticing it, and you don't really have to work hard, quote unquote, because like I'm doing what I love, which was like a feeling I didn't even ever think could exist.
Yeah. And I think also too, like there's different like what you love could also change like in different season in your life. And I think like right now, like this is where you're at, but who knows, maybe in 10 years, like your heart will be pulling you in another direction.
I say that all the time. I'm open to anything. If like next year I decide I'm into farming, like that could happen. Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. I literally think like the sky is the limit. Like I actually just did a podcast with my friend Anna who started a company, and we were just saying to young people, like our note to young people is like we've never just had one job, and like it's so important that I think people dip their toes into many different things, because you never know what like currently what we're working on, like that may be what I love in 10 years, like that may be like we just never know. And if I didn't dip my fingers into little things, like I wouldn't have met you, like Anna wouldn't be able to put out this, like there's a reason all of these things are, like we have a calling to do them. But don't like stay stagnant, like even if you're feeling it. Even when I went to Hawaii, I was like, I could stay home in Philly and live with my mom, but I am going to like go, I'm going to figure this out. I have this passion. I feel it. If it doesn't work out, the worst that could happen is I wasted some money, but I moved to Hawaii. So like, obviously I was thinking about that I was like, I'm moving to Hawaii. It's fine.
Right.
But do you know what I mean? At the end of the day, 100%. It's like, what's the worst? But no one thinks that when they're that young, they're like, the worst that could happen is I lose everything. And you're like, you have nothing to lose though. At that age, you have nothing to lose.
And honestly, sometimes losing everything, whatever that means to you, that's usually where like the most growth happens, is when you're in this spot of like, I don't really know what to do. I know most of the guests I've had on, like the success that they had, and it's a little cliche, but there's a reason why it's a cliche. It was because they were like the lowest point of their life. Like something wasn't going right, whether it was like a health scare, or maybe they lost their job, or like there was a relationship breakup or something like that. Like it led them to where they were supposed to go. And I think like the more organic you try to be, and like kind of trusting that little voice inside your head, it's because it's leading you somewhere. The fact that you listen to that is, I mean, look where you are now. But
it was hard. It was really hard. I'm not going to like ever sit here and be like, it was so natural to me. It was the hardest thing ever. But like now as an adult, I like move forward with situations with so much ease, because I'm like, oh my God, you don't even know what like tougher things are. You know what I mean? Like we're so fortunate to like be able to make these little decisions or move or do whatever we feel like doing in the right way. So I think if anything, now I just have so much more confidence in the fact that like, I do know what's good for me. Maybe I can't like make the decision for my friends or whatnot, but I know it's going to work for me. And so far that hasn't like fucked me up or fucked me over in any way. So I'm going to stick with that, but it's definitely taken a lot of growing pains for sure.
Yeah. I think it's also like you're getting to know yourself better, and you're learning how to like trust yourself a bit more. And even if you do fail, it's like, listen, like I've been there before. Like there's nothing that I can't handle. So I think it's just like developing that like relationship, like with yourself.
Totally. And I think I was like one of the first of like my friends to really be like, I'm so good with me. Like I don't need to hang out with anyone. And like, no one could understand. I remember I had a really tough, like 2 years of like my California friends not fully understanding why I would leave. And like, we were all so young. Like, I get it. It's like, you're so young in that, but you're still like a clique in that way. And it takes a lot for anybody at any age to be like, no, I'm really good with what I'm doing and like my choices that I'm making. And like, if you're not, like, that's on you. But that's, and like, I no harm, no foul. I still love you regardless. That takes a lot for somebody. And I had to learn that the really tough way. And now I just have so much empathy for everyone, because I'm like, we all have so many tough decisions to make, even if you act like it or don't, like we all do. And I think it's just like so important to like to consider that in like in all the moves that I've done and all of the things. Like I never forget that. Like every time I see a new person, I'm like, I wonder what they've like all the shit that they must have gone through. You know what I mean?
I 100% know you mean. I mean, like, I even the past like few years, like, I mean, my family, which has like gone through like a lot of like shit, honestly. And I feel like it's given me this totally new perspective and like other people's pain and like this level of empathy I never knew I could like possess, where now I'm like, you know, you really never know what someone's going through. And it's kind of like given me like more of an insight into like human behavior, where I don't maybe look at people the way that I used to when I was younger. Like, not that I was ever like, I was never like a mean person. I think I was always very kind, but like the level I'm at now, like I just look at things like so different, because I've been through situations where like I understand people like in a different way, if that makes sense.
100%. And that comes with age, obviously, and whatnot. But I just think, like, again, if anyone super young is listening to this, like, stay kind from an early age, because it'll only benefit you so much more than anything else. Like, I feel like I found myself angry so many times, and you know, again, we're humans. We have to learn some hard ways, but I found myself in so many angry, angsty moments. And I look back and I'm like, oh, what a waste of energy. What a waste of those feelings that
right.
I just feel like if maybe I wasn't heard, or like maybe I didn't have someone who felt that. So sure. I feel like sure. literally, even if it's like the fucking barista at Starbucks, like, I'm
yeah.
like, how was your day? How are you? Like, you just like never know what might like affect someone in a positive way. Cause it's little things have affected me in such positive ways that I know how possible that is. And I just think, again, like I said, with all the moves and everything and dealing with like people not understanding you, or like, you know, we don't need to go so deep into this, but like, I've had a lot of like family problems that have mm-hmm. also led me to go away and like want to be alone and whatnot. And a lot of people can't relate to all of that. And you also have to understand that, like, I wouldn't wish half of the thing. I don't want people to relate to the things that give me trauma. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? But you have to have empathy for the fact that, like, a lot of the world struggles.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of us struggle with something, and no one really thinks about that. They just look on the outside and just assume. And that's so easy to do. And like, assume that someone looks well or looks pretty or looks okay, but you have no idea. Like, I think when I went to Hawaii, like, everyone was like, oh my gosh, she's having the best time on the beach. Little did anyone know, like, I was dealing with so much like family stuff, so much like trauma, so much dealing with my own like mental, like
yeah.
deep, deep things. And like, everyone thought I was just frolicking in a bathing suit. And it was like, no, this girl was like, I was like, not good. I could like cry
right.
thinking about it in a fine way, but it's like going through something so deep. And like, I think that was even my first like intro to like really seeing the bad effects of social media and how people don't see what's real. Like,
right.
It was like, my friends knew what was up, but it was like, you don't think something's interesting that like a girl's leaving for 4 months to like go figure her life out. Like, that wasn't something we do. And it's so crazy that now we like jump more to those conclusions now when we hear that, like, oh, someone must not be fine, they're going to this for like 3 weeks. It's like, it's crazy how like back then I like learned super early on that like the amount of people who didn't reach out because they saw a picture of me looking happy, and instead of like being like, how are you, how have you been, like, how are you actually doing? Like, I'll never understand how we got into a society that like pictures became like your away message that like everything is good.
Yeah. I actually say now, the struggles that I've been through, that I'm currently going through, are actually some of my greatest blessings in this life, because it allows me. And again, I think, listen, I do have friends that have not, they haven't gone through maybe the trauma or stuff that I gone through. And that's okay. Because what I also say too, it's, first of all, like, throughout the course of someone's lifetime, like, you're going to go through something, whether it's
totally.
Something massive or whatever, but like, everybody go through something. So like, this is my season of struggle. This is what I'm going through right now. But I think by being open and vulnerable and honest with those people in your life, when they go through it during their time, they're gonna remember that you were vulnerable with them and that you were open with them, and they'll feel more comfortable to be that with you. And so, like, maybe you don't need me right now in that way, but like, who knows,
totally.
Maybe 5 years down the line you will. And like, I was able to be that person for you, you know? So I think it's
100%.
We're all like in different roadmaps and different seasons. But and also, I think one of the reasons why me and you we're so close for like literally from the jump is because I think when you go through such struggle that's so deep and traumatizing, it's like, it kind of like takes one to know one. Like, you like, we
yes,
were
standing totally.
That way, you know,
like,
what I
no
mean?
Words need to be spoken almost. It's just,
it's like,
like,
I get
you
it.
Look
like,
at someone and you get it. Yeah.
I get it. I'm sure like off camera or whatever, we'll get into like the details of it, but
totally.
Like, it really is like going through something like that in life. It's really allowed me to get so deep with people. And honestly, it's been like a weird blessing in my life that I would have not had I not gone through those things, you know? So
I couldn't agree more.
100%. You also said something before, which I just wanted to touch on quickly, with like making those hard life decisions. Yeah, they should be hard, because we live in a society where like there's societal expectations, like family expectations maybe you had on yourself when you were younger, and you're like, wait, like, that's not matching up with like my life plan.
Totally.
Like, it should be hard. It's not supposed to. Anything great in life is not supposed to be easy.
I was just about to say, anything in my life, like, even, you know, my last breakup, like, everything that has happened that was major, that was once upon a time like amazing,
yeah,
all like sadly had a turbulent ending, but led me to such a grander place. Like,
yeah,
like, you know, it took me a really, even my ex, like, it took me a really long time to like really get over that. And I'll never think I was ever properly like spoken to, and that's something I'll have to deal with and make peace with my own self. But, you know, everything that I've loved or anything that was of importance, like, has rattled me and has like shook me to its core because I care so much, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like, I only care so deeply and, you know, that's, it's a blessing. And there are moments that I'm like, but why the fuck do I care so badly?
Yeah.
Like, why am I caring so badly?
Yeah. I've been in that same place, like when it comes to like a family situation. And I feel like one thing I am learning as I get older is, because I'm so similar like you. When I love someone, I love with every inch of my being, an ounce, whether that's a friend, a lover, whatever, like everything. But I am learning that my heart is a very sacred place and I need to be better about guarding it and protecting my peace. And that doesn't mean that I don't love you, but sometimes loving someone means that I have to protect myself. And I feel like that's something that I've learned.
We could go deep into that because my friends right now, I think, my friends think I'm like crazy because I'm like, I really like someone a lot right now and they're totally great, but like I'm protecting my heart. Like I'm taking my sweet time.
As you should.
If this person is the person who's going to be in my life, I'll have forever to tell them how I feel.
Yeah.
If they're not, then it's, again, we can go into it deeper later if you want.
Yeah.
But it's all relative to like what we're getting to.
And I think like, and just to quickly touch on that, I think if, when it comes to relationships specifically, like if someone really does really care about you deeply and love you, like they'll be like, take the time you need. Like, I want you. I don't want anything else. There's no expectations. I want you. And like the right person will wait on you and they'll be patient with you. And my mom always told me like love, I mean, especially in the beginning, like it's supposed to be, it should be easy in the beginning. Like it shouldn't be like this like, tumultuous, hard thing. Like you got the rest of your life to deal with like hard stuff. Like the beginning should be like, you're getting to know your best friend in the world, you know? So
totally.
Yeah.
And that's how I felt it. And every time that I've been like getting two steps ahead of myself, I'm like, no.
Yeah.
We're going to do this differently because like you're a different person. And like, as Albert Einstein once said, like, you can't expect change if you don't do like have different words. Like you can't expect change if you don't have different results or make something in the equation different. So like
this time
around, I'm making a valid conscious choice to make it different, to see if I have a better, not a better chance, but just to see if I'm happier, which if there's anything I've learned is that I'm so much more fucking confident than I ever like thought. And that is also, again, trusting your gut and like trusting that the time that you're taking, maybe your friend doesn't agree with that, but like you trust it and you agree with it and you feel those feelings and like those feelings are for you and you only.
Yeah. And part of like dating and relationships, it really is like holding like a mirror up to yourself and you're like, wait a second, like where am I at in life? And so I think the right person will, they're literally supposed to like hold your hand and be like, listen, like you take the time you need because not only are you getting to know me, but you're also getting to know yourself through this process. So
exactly.
Yeah.
You get it.
Brains are the same wavelength.
No, exactly.
But speaking about yoga, so like how is that your career developed and like how did you go from working in that in that first New York job to where you are now? How is that developed?
So the way I like to tell my yoga story is I would say the first big thing that happened to me, like besides getting jobs in the beginning, that was just like a security of knowing that like this is right. Sure. I at the time, of course, living in New York is expensive and I wasn't going to yoga classes. I was just doing yoga. And one day I was doing yoga in the park and this guy and this girl came up to me as I was walking home and obviously I'm like, what's going on? But I'm never like skeeved out by anyone or anything.
Sure.
And they came up to me and just handed me their business cards and were like, amazing practice in the park. And it was like the Adidas social team. And I was like, what? Like, what? Like, I don't even know what I just was doing. Like I was like, what am I wearing? Like, what is going on? And they're like, we have an opportunity. Like, shoot us an email if like you'd like to do work with us. So I emailed them right when I got home, obviously.
Immediately.
And like literally like ran home.
And
I was at Washington Square Park and I lived in Soho at the time. I literally was like five blocks away. I was like, I gotta go home and do this. Mm-hmm. And I emailed them and it was something like so lame. It was like, hey, it's Alexa, the girl who's doing yoga in the park.
Yeah.
It's just something so lame. And they were like, is there any chance you can come to the headquarters, which is also in Soho, like tomorrow at noon? And I was teaching a class and I canceled the class. Like I was like, no, like I'm going to this meeting.
Yeah.
They ended up booking me for 2 years to be their sponsored yoga girl. So I like did all the yoga content for 2 years for them. And like, I'm from Colombia and I was like in the billboards in Colombia and like all of like South America. And like, it was just really, really cool. And besides that, like working with Adidas at that time. And I think just generally, they're just a great company to work with and work for. Mm-hmm. And they opened just so many. That was really the opening for me because I met so many people. I think I wasn't one of the first like yoga girls to really be like super artsy with their pictures, but I think I was the most relatable girl that people knew that was like really doing like shapes and handstands and this. I wasn't like, you know, like a, not to put any,
I know what like, you mean. An, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't like a
like
yoga
the guru
model.
Type. Like you were actually
yes,
like,
so, yes. Really, like I was, people like knew who I was. I wasn't like, I was like a tangible human that people knew of. And like, I like lived in New York, like people knew me. It wasn't like someone that was, I wasn't a model. Like I was like doing this, like as something I love to do. So it really like got my name out there. And then I was working with everyone from Vogue and working with Hannah Bronfman and working with, like, I was just like, I was, it was a hot moment for me. Like I was 26, 27, working with like all of like the 30-year-old it girls in like that scene and like teaching all privates and like getting to just like see their lives. And like, you know, one of my clients is Allison Liu from Allison Liu Jewelry. And like, she would like always like have ear piercing things and like give me jewelry and like show me this world that I like, I, that's really how I learned about New York, like the cool side of it that like we don't know about. Like I learned it from like these girls and like from them, like bringing them into my life. And like, I think Adidas all the time for like, I'll always send them like mail, an email, a this or that to the two people that I like know that don't even work for them anymore. Just cause I'm like, I hope you guys know, like not you changed my life, but like you open the door, like you open the floodgates for me. Cause that's like, you know, that stuff I'm still tagged in, that stuff I still get like, my aunt will send me, she lives in Colombia, she'll send me emails where I'm like at the bottom of her email. And like, that's crazy to me. Like, I'm like, that's crazy that I don't care that my usage is still out there and it's been years, but yeah. I think it's crazy that is really my stepping stone, I would say, to like getting out there. And then after that, taught everywhere, taught for Lululemon, taught literally anything and everything, that was me. And then COVID hit, which was really tough, but honestly, I all of my clients were down to be virtual and it was great. It was fine. Went through a terrible breakup. And then I came to Miami just to visit my mom. Never left. Ran into one of my old clients who was like, want to do yoga one day? Ended up introducing me to like all of her mom friends. And then I was like, I'm not leaving. That's straight up like how it went. It like has nothing. I was like, I was just in, again, another unhappy place where I was like, I got to make a change. And at the time there was, I didn't want to just be in front of a computer. Like I was like, if I have the opportunity to like teach out, even if it's like in someone's backyard, whatever it may be, and like see people again, like that's what I need. I was like so depressed and such a different, I was like heartbroken depressed, not just like, you know, everyone is, we're all going through COVID. I was like, my heart hurts. Like I need to like see people. I need to like see a family. I need to like see someone besides my mom. Like I just need to, it's time.
Especially it's time. Being but who you are, like you're such like an empath and like you love connecting with people, like that's what like fills up your spirit and soul. So like you were lacking that makes complete sense why you were feeling like so depleted.
But to circle it back, Adidas was fully my like my I think when I talk about yoga, I'll always give them the credit of like really putting me out there, because again, they just saw a girl in the park. Like I didn't send them any information. Like it's a really crazy story, but again, everything happens for a reason. And like I'll send you this after of the picture of me at the headquarters the day I got like the job. And I was just like, it just also like, I never asked for it. Like, I was just like, this is so crazy. Like, I can't even believe it. Like, I didn't even like think in my wildest dreams it was even a possibility that like in a crazy city like New York, like someone would recognize me.
It's a testament, I think, because it sounds like they were trying to like find more like real relatable people to like be inside of their campaigns. And the fact that they saw you, and like, it's a testament to the fact that like you were being so authentic and like organic to like your own journey and your own self. And they saw that, you know, and they don't need to know like the whole background of your story or whatever, but they recognize something in you. And it's cool to see that, like, again, once again, it's the same theme I see over and over again. The more authentic you are to yourself, those opportunities will come. Like you said, you weren't looking for it. It just came.
It just came. And it only boosted myself to want to be bigger and better and like practice deeper and get like deeper into my work and connect with more people. If all I had to do is be in a park and do some yoga, I was like, I can do anything. And like, I really did. Like, I really, really, I didn't say, I think that so many episodes I've heard of you say, like, you never said no to like any opportunity. And like, I was that girl too. Like, I did not say no. I literally knew everyone. I felt great about it. But I will say that after 3 years of it, I was so done with the like social aspect of like, the yoga world. And I was like, so moving into like my own world of being like, all right, I've made my mark here. I'm good.
Yeah.
I now want to take this privately. And I want to like I felt like I had like done the work to like get what to do what I wanted to
like
do.
Like it served its purpose.
It served its purpose. It was so much fun. I look back and I'm like, wow, it was crazy. I like went out all the time. I like saw so many people all the time. It was the most social I'd ever been, but such a great time in your life to do all of that. But when I noticed that, I was like, I'm done now. I think I'm good. I think I'm going to like keep it low key and I'm going to stick with the people that I've worked with who I love, who don't need it to stay high key. And I start to say no, and it felt really good to say no. And it was really also nice to like, again, females listening to this will definitely understand, but like naming your price of what you know you deserve to be paid. And, you know, also not being attached to any name, just being Alexa, not like Alexa with Adidas. Like that was also its own thing. That was just now something to add on to my resume to give you more value that I was semi good. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. No, I mean, again, I think you've said a few points, but I think the journey that you've been on has really like, it's long story short, it's led you to where you are now, where you're in a point where like you can say like, I've done that. You've been organic to yourself. So I'm very proud of you, long story short. I think it's really cool to see how like everything kind of like came to where it was. I'm excited to do a class with you. I'm excited to do in person. Same. I cannot wait for that.
Oh my God, I'm going to make you do EMS. I'm going to have you do like a lot of things.
Please do.
I will.
But for those who like don't know anything about yoga, like how did you even like get started like in learning the practice?
Okay, so my best friend's mom was a yoga teacher growing up, and yoga was a foreign concept to all of us. Like we were like, it is crazy that your mom's a yoga teacher. Like we were all just like, Anna's crazy mom. Like we were just like, and mind you, she's the best person in the whole world. She changed all of our lives. Like insane. Little did we know, but she was a yoga teacher in our like small suburban town in Philadelphia. And you know, every now and then we would go to her yoga classes, 'cause like she was our best friend's mom. And like, obviously we're going to like, it's just what we did. But every time we would go, it was just such a shocker every time. Like we were just like, this is so interesting. I wonder like what got her into it. Anyway, fast forward, we would do yoga like I would say once a month with her mom, just to support. And because, you know, it's nice to have like your daughter and her three friends in a class. It's the right thing to do.
Right.
Forward to college. My sophomore year, I had found out that my roommate, and I only lived with one other person, was doing drugs. And I like literally like was like, I never wanted to be home. I just wanted to like, I just didn't know what to do with my free time besides like going out. So I took up yoga in college, and my yoga teacher happened to be from Philly, Darren Rhodes, if you're listening to this, I hope you do. And he knew Beryl, Anna's mom. So I immediately felt this connection that I was like, oh my God, we like know each other. Like, you know, Beryl, my yoga teacher from Philly, like now you're my teacher in Arizona, whatever. So right. I did yoga with him for like, I would say the next 2 years from sophomore to my senior year. But it was really like the scariness and the sadness of seeing someone else's life like deteriorate so majorly. And I was like, I need to be better. Like I was, you know, even just being in college, everyone lets their body deteriorate. So I was like, better. And I also just found so much peace in it. And I guess I finally like felt what like Beryl had been feeling all of these years. And like, I finally felt it and it was amazing. And, you know, it's crazy because Darren, like I'll never forget when I had my last yoga class with him in school, and he was like, you know that you're meant to be a teacher. And I was like, no, I'm not. Like, this is, you know, like, I was like, there's just no way. And like, you know, I emailed him like years later when I, like almost 7 years later when I did become a teacher. But it was really through my best friend's mom, who was a yoga teacher, who like knew already, like she's literally the brightest light of all time. I could only hope to be half of the woman that she is when I'm her age.
Yeah.
But she taught us so much about like, even the fact that working out isn't about like being pretty, it's about like feeling a certain way. And that's, we never understood the feeling of why we were going to yoga at all whatsoever. And it wasn't like I had gone through like, again, a really tough moment with a friend of like having to be like, am I going to stand by this? Or am I going to do what I would do and like offer the help. And if they're not going to take it, they're not going to take it, which they didn't. And I'm going to have to move on. And I ended up moving out, obviously, when I could and whatnot.
Right.
But it was that decision of being like, okay, if I'm going to live with this person for the time being, I'm going to consciously, like, I want to make sure that my free time is of like good use. And I'm like valuing my body and my health. Cause I just saw someone who's just didn't care at all. And I just, that changed me. Like seeing somebody I love and I love so much, like that was the, one of the toughest things. And again, I was so young. Like I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
And drink, like this is so crazy to me that I was like witnessing this. So for me it was also that. And I think, you know, I think that that's the part of being like doing something as an adult is realizing just like, you know, that I don't think a lot of people are so lucky to have, listen, I say this both ways. My dad passed away when I was 11 from a car accident, so I've always like known tragedy and like that feeling of losing somebody, and I've always been really scared of losing somebody. So when my friend chose to be this way and chose to like know that she could like lose her life or like, it just did something to me. And I was like, I'm the only one who can choose what I do. And I'm going to choose like, be healthy. I want my mom. I don't want anyone to worry about me. That's like the one thing you'll always know about me is like, I never want anyone to worry about me ever. Yeah. And that's why I'm always so honest and open, and I'll cry and I'll tell everyone what's going on because I'm like, better that you know.
Yeah.
Confused of why I'm acting a certain way. And I think people are ashamed of that. And I literally embrace the fuck out of it because I'm like, at least people, I really think it's like made my relationship so much stronger that people just know than like, just think like she's irritated or she's upset or she's mad at me or like whatever. Like I refuse to sweep anything under the rug or like not be real about anything. Like life is too short. Even in my last relationship, I felt like I couldn't even like really be my full self. And never. That's even
worst,
why with the
guy worst feeling.
I'm dating now. I like made myself a promise. The next person I like got semi-serious with, like, I'm not doing anything besides being so me that it hurts, you know? And like,
isn't it the best feeling? Cause I've made that switch recently too, where I used to kind of like maybe cater a little bit to the conversation, depending who I was with.
A womanly thing to like, be what someone, it's not even be what someone wants you to be. I want to say that so lightly, but you just want to like make someone happy, like in the nicest way possible. That's what you want to do.
But I realize that like the more true you are to yourself, that's where you're going to find like the relationships that are meant for you, whether that's friendship, romantic, whatever. Like I just realized I've made that switch recently. And like, I did it with a guy that I was talking to. And like, I was like, I'm like, I've never done this before where I was like, so myself. And like, we both realized like, he's like, you're an amazing girl. And we just realized, but like, we're not for each other. And I'm like, that's okay. But the old me would have maybe been like, wait, why am I not for you? Like, maybe we should switch it. And
that's because it's your ego.
Yeah.
And like, that's the difference of like growing up is like being like, oh, I'm not going to let my ego like, yeah, you're the one who probably wanted to break up with him. Yet you're like, no, you don't want to break up with me.
That's
so cool. It's pure ego. And like the amount of times I have to tell my friends who like will call me and like are in a fight with like their boyfriend or even my own self when I get in a fight with someone and they're like, your ego is like up here and you got to like humble yourself down because like you're not having empathy for the situation. And like my friend Anna said it best. I recently got into an argument with someone, called her instead of continuing to argue.
Yeah.
And it was like, Lex, like you want to finish, like you don't want to end this. Cause I was like, this is how I'm going to end it. I was like, it's not mean. It's not nice, but it's not mean. And she was like, I just think you're going to regret being the one who's like, didn't say something kind or nice back. It never makes you feel bad to be the nicer person. And I was like, you're so right. And she was like, and it's not in a pushover way. It's in the way that like, you know, that in whatever last words you had in that situation, like you were the one who was willing to have empathy to hear the person out. If they don't want that, that's on them. You gave that extending arm. And that's something like, again, good friends. Those are the types of friends you want, the ones who are going to be like, don't fucking even think about like being a sassy little bitch. Like, it's not worth it.
I think for me, like it was, I'm sure ego was a part of it in some. I think the last one for me, it was more about like, it was nice to connect with like another human being in like a more of a romantic way, but I wasn't willing to compromise my values and what I believed in. And I think in the past I would do that where like, even though like somebody was so nice and like, they're so great, the man that I'm going to marry, he's got to hit like every box, not like some boxes. He's got to hit every box. And in the past I would be like, well, he doesn't have to hit this one and this one and this one. But like, those were the ones that were like the most valuable ones. And so I realized now, like, I'm just like not, I'm not willing to settle. And I know it's, again, another cliche, but like, it's more lonely to be with somebody that doesn't truly know who you are than to like actually be alone. And so
I can agree more. Like when I was going through my breakup and people were like, you need to date. I was like, I'm not fucking dating, because everyone thinks I'm on this like timeline of life. Like it doesn't feel good to meet people right now. And I feel like, right, shit, like I don't want to be that version slash like, I think people forget. And I do hope anyone listening to this who feels like they're older and they like, you know, like I thought I was going to, the person I was with when I was 25 was the person I thought I was going to marry, and that didn't work out.
Yeah.
So I do hope people also know that it's like, just because like we're getting older doesn't mean like that things get harder or that you're not able to find love or any of that. If anything, I feel like I'm so lucky to find love in so many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I was having this talk with a guy friend yesterday, it's his birthday today. And we were talking about babies, and I was like, if I don't find my person by the time I'm 34, like I'm getting inseminated. I'm just having a baby and my dog and like my life. And I think that people think that that's so crazy when I say it, but like, I really mean it. Like, I just think in this world that we live in, it's too, if I want something and I work for it and I really want it, and if a relationship's not going to come, I don't want to be with somebody who's not going to like meet me where I am. And like, sadly, it's actually not sad. It's realistic to realize that that match may not happen. I sure hope it does. I hope all the fucking time.
Yeah.
But I'm also very realistic about the fact that like it has been taken from me, and I felt that feeling before, and I'll never let myself like fall like that ever, which is why I'm like so different this time around. But I think it's so important that people do like realize that it's okay to take time, and it's okay to take your own like, it's not up to everyone else if six months is enough, like, and you should move on by now. Like, I think that's so silly. Like, you can't help how you love someone. And if you still love them, and even if it was toxic or crazy, and I think it's so crazy that we live in this world that like by 32, you should be married with kids. Like, it's like, that's so overwhelming. And I used to be one of those people. And I like feel so bad. Like, I think about people that I, even the other day, I was thinking like, oh, I feel so bad that I asked that girl when she thinks she's getting engaged. And I like would hate if someone asked me that. And I like, but it's things you look back on that like change the way that you even approach questions.
Right. Right. So true. I think, again, I feel like it's going, I really do believe my heart, like you keep being authentic to who you are. Like, cause the guy that I imagine that I'm going to be with, like, he's kind of focusing on himself and doing his thing, and then I'm doing mine, and eventually our paths will cross. Exactly. And I pray about it all the time. I'm like, our paths will cross when they're meant to cross, and I'm not going to rush it. And again, like, I'm not going to be with somebody just for the sake of being with somebody. And I do have girlfriends that are your age. I have girlfriends that are older than you that are like 35. And like, I'm so proud of them for not settling, because I said, if you're not going to do it for your version now, like do it for the version that's like 50 years old and is in a crappy marriage. And you're like, oh my God, why did I do that? Like, and then now you feel like you're stuck. So it's like, you would just wait. Like honestly, finding the right person, it takes a lot of patience, a lot of sacrifice. And you know, you are going to compare yourself to your friends that are posting engagement photos and all these things, but it's like, but at the end of the day, a lot of those people, I hate to say it, like they probably are settling, a lot of those people, because they're scared. Like, I don't want to settle. I really, really don't. That's like the one decision in life I don't want to settle on. So well, I think you're doing the right
thing. Think about it this way, Sydney. I was telling this to my friend just to like put into perspective, like relationships in life. He was going through his own thing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, you just bought a house. You just bought a car. Like, you have a great job. I was like, the next biggest investment you're going to make is a relationship. And like, same way that you care about your job because you care about your house and your finances and all of those things, like the next thing is a relationship. And like, that's I was like, was finding a house easy? He's like, no. I'm like, and was it easy to pick up? Obviously getting a car is a little easier. I was like, was it easy? He's like, no, it wasn't. I was like, so you can imagine finding the person you're going to spend every single day with forever is going to be really tough. And I was like, and also I always say this to people like who like have been in my shoes and like met someone, really liked them, thought they would be the person, and they're not. I'm like, well, isn't it amazing to know that you have feelings again? Like, you know, like there was such a time where I didn't even know if I had feelings. So I was like, I had met so many people like afterwards, and I was like, I'm just so fucking fine walking my dog and like living my life and like, not. And I just think like love and that person is your next big, if you haven't invested in a home or something, you're investing in a human is the biggest thing you can do.
I've had a night earlier this year in April. I had a night, I was in Texas with one of like my best friends, and like, I just started crying in the hotel room. She's like, why are you crying? She was like, and I was like, because like, it's, I mean, I had a few drinks in me, granted. But I was like, I said, because I know how much love I have inside of me. And sometimes containing all of that is a little sad, because like, I have so much to give somebody. But in that same vein though, I want to make sure I give it to the right person, because I know it would be detrimental if I gave that to the wrong person. So mm-hmm. That's what I mean earlier, to circle back earlier to the conversation. Like when I mean, I'm protecting my heart. I'm like, 'cause I know when somebody's going to have all of me one day, like they're going to have all of me. And I know that that's very, very special. So I'd rather keep it for now and not just like give it away freely. So,
and yeah. Blessed up for you recognizing that, like, you know, your love is so worthy that you're not just going to sprinkle it around, because that's also super important. I think people don't realize how drained they get from just giving. That used to be me. I would just like be a giver. And I still do. I still like, now I'm just more like surface level about it. Instead of giving my all, I'm just like show that I care. But it's also really important to notice, like, hey, my love is it's a privilege to love, like have
100%. Yes.
And I literally had to have this talk with my friend. I was like, you're like, to be with you is a privilege. Like, it's literally a privilege. And like, if someone doesn't feel that way about you, like, they're crazy. And like, wrong. And I don't care if that sounds like gaslighty or weird, but I really, the people that I love in my life, I really hold such a standard. And when they get hurt, I feel hurt. And I truly said that. I was like, you're a privilege to like have as a friend. Like it's a privilege. And I feel like, I hope everyone thinks about that when they think of their own love that they give, like, it's a privilege to be loved by me.
Yeah. And what kind of like what you said earlier about like your roommate with like addiction and stuff. I mean, I've been in very similar situations like that. We could talk off the pod, but like, it's about, again, sometimes loving people that you love so much. It's also like recognizing that like, they can't love you to the extent you need them to if they don't love themselves. And like, they have to go on their own individual journey. I think I've had girlfriends that have dated people with addiction, and like, it's because you care so deeply for them that like, you think that like, I have to stay, otherwise I'm like giving up. And it's like, no, you're not giving up. Like, they have to go on their own thing without you. It has nothing to do with you. Like, it's a very individual journey. So I'm also
it hurts to leave them. That's the hardest part, is that you're like, I know I'm leaving you during a time that you shouldn't be left alone, but like, I also am going to be, I'm going to get hurt if I like stay.
But also there's nothing you can do. Like you think that like in some ways you're probably an endless, and this is specifically maybe more for like romantic relationships, but like, well, actually that's not true. I think it could be regular relationships too, but like, you're enabling somebody by staying sometimes, where you're like, because they recognize, they're like, oh, they're not going anywhere. So like, I'm going to keep doing what I want to do. It's like, sometimes walking away is actually like the best thing you can do for that person. Again, whole other topic, but again, like, just to like wrap it up. So, I mean, you're in Miami now, you're doing you. I mean, I love your whole story of yoga and everything. I love to hear that, like, you're, and again, also another thing you said before, like, you kind of did that whole like New York, like influencer, like living the social life, whatever. I'm on that same journey. I've done all of that. It was for a season. I'm in a very different chapter of my life right now. Specifically what I've gone through in the last 3 years, like, I'm kind of realizing that like, I want, I don't know, slow it down a bit. I'm trying to also figure out what my next move is. I have a few ideas, but I'm realizing that, like, you know, life is very short, and I'm like, why I'm here. I'm like, kind of, what is my purpose? I'm like, why am I here? And certain things that I've been through in my life, I'm realizing, I don't know, I'm trying to figure out exactly what to do with the experiences that I've had, and how can I benefit others through those experiences. And so the whole social thing, I'm glad I got to experience it, because now I know I'm not really missing out on anything. I think if I never went, if I never went through it, I'd been like, oh my God, like, that's why I could see why so many people that like live in the Midwest, like, they come to New York City and like, oh my God, like, this is what I've dreamed about. It's like, okay, go experience it. You'll realize, like, I hate to say it, more than half those people are fake ass people. They're 100%. People you probably don't want to be friends with. Like, those events that you go to, like, I've been at those events. They don't fill your spirit in any way. It's for a cool photo, and then you leave. And
it's
for
like,
what?
In hopes that someone recognizes it and recognizes you. And like, it's not something sustainable.
Mm-mm. No.
And it's also not mentally sustainable. Like, it's really not healthy to be around people who you know don't really want to be around you, that feel like competition, that feel like, and that's something about you and me. I both feel like we both don't feel that, we feel like everyone, there's room for every single person. But when you're in that world, it's like there, no one feels that same way. And it's a very self-defeating feeling to feel like you're the only one who's like rooting everyone on in the room, but no one's doing it back for you.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
I'm actually,
that'll like get you too.
And I said that I was talking to a friend recently and I said that I'm so happy I didn't get the things that I wanted when I was like 18, 19, 20, 21. Like the things that I used to want so badly, I'm so happy I never got them. Like I used to want to be like, oh my God, I want to like blow up on social and like all these things. I'm like, thank God I didn't get that, because I think people that have that, I think sometimes you lose that sense of like being grounded and being real, because you get like sucked into that world. And I don't know. I'm just happy I never, I didn't get that. Cause like now I think I'm able to focus on.
I think we're really lucky for the timing that we both got into, let's put it, the social media world.
Right.
Because, you know, even from, I feel like 2017 on, let's say, cause I feel like both of our Instagrams were way before that, like the TikTokers, let's put TikTokers out there. Like this is such a different world. Like that world is so different that I'm like, thank God.
Yeah.
What we thought was like wild and crazy is nothing compared to like what these kids are doing, which is like, in my personal opinion, I think they're so creative. I think the creativity is something like, unlike anything else. I truly give all the TikTokers like, good for you. You're really creative. I also think they're in for a treat of like reality.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really do. And that's something I just feel super strongly about. And I feel lucky for our realm of social media and kind of like when I started to like not give up. I like obviously still post here and there, but it's very static. It's really, it's honestly, I don't have Facebook. So for me, it's like, it's one thing to just for my friends to know, like I'm here.
It's more for me, honestly. It's more like, I just do it as kind of like a memory
and
thing.
Like I love people. I like personally, I want people to see my dog updates. Like those are like the thing, the stupid thing I care for to show.
But I used to try.
What I was saying, what I feel really lucky for is our years of social media, because they really were collaborative and they really were cool and they really weren't like filled with ring lights and this and that. It like took deep creativity and like timing and like making sure the sun would be out and making sure you had the right apartment and making sure like making real connections with people, like really having to be like even I'm sure with Tina, like making sure like you had a set plan, you guys were going to do this, you were going to like, things were just different and people did things in a way lovingly way and in way less transactional. Like anytime I've done anything with anyone, I really don't feel like it's transactional. I really feel like we're both, I'm doing this because I want to talk to you. Like I'm happy for anyone who wants to hear, but I'm doing it because I personally love you and love talking to you. And I feel like people get to like do things from a place of like deep love, as opposed to like making it about like work or this or that. It's like, it should come from like just purely like loving the situation or what you're going to do. Obviously there are times we have to amplify it and do other things to grow ourselves bigger. But going back to social media, I think we got really, really lucky. And our group of people is a little more empathetic and understanding and vibes to this, you know, everyone's this beat of the same drum kind of energy. And I think we're really lucky for that, because, you know, even watching the D'Amelio show, like just seeing how upset they are. Like I obviously have been there, but not to the level where like, I can't even imagine the comments. Like I can't imagine if like my, like being in that position of life where like, I've gotten obviously mean things said to me, but nothing on the level of like these kids who like aren't anybody at the end of it. They're just people. And it's just so crazy. So I do think we're lucky that we had like that intro. And listen, some people have taken it and kept going with it. I personally didn't.
It doesn't fill me up the way that it used to. I think there was a time where like I used to get such like a little mini high off of it. And now I'm like, it just doesn't fill my spirit the way it once did. And again, there are TikTokers and I've had them on this podcast. Like they're very creative. A lot of them are very collaborative, but I think you're talking more about like the social media landscape as
I mean like personally, like everyone I knew I collaborated with, I still like keep in touch with, like, I just don't see them like having, like they do the job, they collaborate, they're done. They're on to the next person they're collaborating with, as opposed to like, I feel like we maintain relationships even when we're done working with them or whatever. Maybe I just feel like in today's society, everything is what's next, as opposed to like, again, like I was saying, like stability, sustainability, like those relationships are not one-offs. Like I don't consider anybody I talk to ever a one-off, because if it is a one-off, then nothing is going to come from it.
Yeah. I agree.
What one-up has, well, even with working out, you can't go to one yoga class and expect change.
Yeah.
You have to do it at least like, I don't know, 8 times to like feel what someone feels. It took me 3 years to feel what anyone feels.
Most of the people I've had on the podcast, yes, we don't talk every day, but I'm still like their little cheerleader on the sidelines. 100%. And I'm like, you're killing it. Like, good for you. So yeah, I agree. And I think, again, it's just also like who we are, like where I don't want to talk to anybody unless I genuinely want to get to know you. And I think that's the podcast in real life, whatever. I think it's just how you should be in general. So you don't have to have a podcast to want to make real conversations with anyone.
At all.
But I guess just to wrap up, cause girl, I have 4 listeners. I'm like,
I could do this forever.
I know we will. But just to wrap up, what are some of like your next goals and things that you want to accomplish in like the next, you know, few years, whatever.
Yeah. So
personal or professional?
Now, but did you say professional?
No, however you want to answer that, personal or professional.
I guess quickly on a professional sense, I want to continue teaching private yoga and I love my clients. I want to continue to keep building strong clientele and community. I love that. Mm-hmm. I just started with my friend a company she started called EMS, that stands for electrical muscular stimulation. We've been bringing it to people. Even people with like, it's basically a suit that's made with electrodes.
It's intense. It's intense.
Yeah. I'm gonna obviously put you in it, but you know, what's really amazing about it is it's not just for people who love working out. It's really meant for, you know, people who have even gotten into deep accidents who need rehab to build their muscles back up without them actually having to really move too much.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're doing a lot of studies on that, which on our own, which is like really fun and exciting. And we've been doing yoga together our whole lives. That's Beryl's mom, the yoga's daughter.
Yeah.
So, you know, being able to have lived together in California and then work together in California, now we're like full circle, like taking what our deep passion was as yoga and like now turning it into like a different type of business where we get to add a different type of workout to like really strengthen people and like make them feel the best. Right. Is something I am so excited to continue to bring forward. That's definitely like my most exciting thing coming up, especially because it's just so much fun. I can't wait to do it with you. And you, and it, I like, we just did a podcast about it and it just has opened our minds so much to just everything. You get so personal with people, but you know, on another personal level, I guess one thing I really want is I really want to buy a house. That's definitely
amazing.
In Coconut Grove. That's really where I want to go. Mm. So I really want to buy a house. And you know, like on another like love level, I really, again, like anybody else, I hope to meet my person. I've definitely met some really awesome people. Right now I'm seeing someone really great and I feel really lucky, but I am totally taking my time on things that I should. And I'm always really transparent about the fact that like, if you're not good with that, I totally get it. And if you want more, like go find it. And that is what I'm going to stand by, because I take accountability for what I didn't always do right in the past. Mm-hmm. And moving forward, I just want to be super sure. And I know that I look forward to meeting that person one day.
Yeah.
And if I don't, it's going to be okay. Like, I have so much love around me. Again, I'm a lucky person that I can find love in different ways. And I'm attracted to men. It's not like I'm finding it with a girl right now.
Yeah.
I'm attracted to men. But I know that, like, you know, even loving my friends so much and whatnot, like, that's, I feel so lucky. And like, sex can come and go. Like, I can always find sex. Like, I can always find like feeling or whatever. But like, I really feel like so lucky to love so much and so many different people and things. And even my dog, like, that. Like, I look forward to hopefully finding that person and having a normal family and a normal life. But if not, I'm okay with like the challenge that comes along with like maybe taking the road less traveled. Like, I really am. I really am. So I'm excited about a lot of things. I think I feel very lucky to have a lot on the horizon and be working with a lot of fun people and whatnot. And, you know, even I'm excited that you're moving to Miami. It's always exciting when someone moves to Miami. It's such a blessing for me that people keep moving to Miami, because I'm like, great. It only validates why I moved here even more.
Yeah.
But even like that, even having another friend there, like one more friend, to me, that fills my cup. Like, it's the stupidest thing for me, but I'll definitely say the whole EMS company thing is really exciting. I'm so excited to see what in a year, like what that's going to be like for me. And I'm just really excited to hopefully be able to buy my first home and be in that place of just like, I'm really ready to like be more of an adult.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're all trying. We don't know what that looks like, but yeah, we're trying.
It's really, really tough. It's so tough. I'm literally like, mom, did I do this right? Mom, wait, did I do that right? It's always such a scary moment. I'm like, am I getting tax evasion? Am I going to be okay?
Yeah.
Is everyone okay? It's scary, but I think that's, again, everything that, like I said to you, everything that's happened to me that was, that changed me was always kind of jolting to my body. And I think like you need to be scared to like,
yeah,
good change. And I just now feel lucky that I'm in a place where I don't need to be jolted. I now can like get things peripherally and be like, all right,
yeah,
hold up. And I feel really lucky for that. So to end it on that, like, I just feel really lucky to have really good business opportunities. I will say, everybody, keep in touch with people, send those notes, be a kind person, say happy holidays once in a blue moon. Like if someone had a baby, reach out. Like, I don't even like, it's just so easy to be a good person.
Yeah.
But like, I'm going to give those pointers. And no, I just hope to like find my person. I hope to continue finding my purpose. And to me, that's above anything. Finding my purpose and finding what makes me happy is the number one thing for me. And obviously making sure my family's happy and like my mom is good and
those.
But yeah, no, just like,
I think if there's any lesson in your life, it's been that the more organic and authentic that you've been to yourself, the things that are meant to come, just like they approached you in the park. You know, I think one day, who knows, maybe your guy will be in the park or something. Who knows?
When I tell you how I met this guy, you're going to be like, that's crazy.
Oh my God. Well, I cannot wait to talk about it. We could talk for hours. Like, you don't understand. Like, this has been a long time coming. So apologies that we made this so long, but I will see you in Miami. Thank you so much for coming on. And yeah, we will talk very soon. Thanks, guys.
Love you.
Bye. Okay, guys, and that's a wrap. Thank you so much for listening. As always, please be sure to subscribe so you're the first to hear about new episodes. Rate and review. Please leave 5 stars and a comment. It really helps my growing podcast. And with that said, guys, I hope you enjoy your holidays with your loved ones and you have the most fun. Please stay safe. And I'm sending you guys virtual hugs and kisses. And I will see you guys in 2023. See you in Miami, baby. All right, bye.